Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy first day of spring, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 20th, 2012, episode 362. Good morning, horse world.
All right. Hold on, Jamie.
Oh, boy.
The music is coming. My screen. Jennifer, can you play the opening music? Because I can't get to the studio to do it.
Let's see, opening
just
music
not
today,
there.
What should we play today? We can play music. We can
Tuesday
play...
opener would do.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
So excited. You're welcome. We got to play it for you. Good job, Jen. Is your computer not working? Because we've got some important stuff to do once we come to the Daily Winnies.
It seems to be back now, but that sound file you wanted is just not uploading.
That's unacceptable. That is just unacceptable.
Sorry.
Well, why don't you keep trying? I'll just talk to myself over here because I really wanted that to be a part of the show, because when I saw that particular sound file, I was pretty excited. So, we'll see if it comes up. Maybe not. Dang technology, ridiculous. But we have compiled a non-crappy list for Tuesday. Okay? It's non-crappy, and
you're
I came up with it.
You're trying to steal my thunder.
Well, I wanted you to make a list, too. Did you come up with a list?
Does two constitute a list?
No. It is not, but you can make your own list, and I want all of our listeners are going to play along at home, but we'll talk to Jennifer first about what is coming up on today's show.
On today's Fantastic List Tuesday, we're going to be chatting with Mike Arnold, who's going to stop by and tell us all about what is going to be going on at the Live Oak International, taking place this weekend at the Live Oak Farm in Ocala, Florida. This is why Glenn is in a snit today, because the Live Oak International is sort of the driving
so
competition. It's Rolex for drivers. It's a really big deal, and Glenn's going to miss it. So he's kind of in a snit today, so be prepared, folks. And also today, Victoria Spicer, the velvety voice of Horse and Country TV, is going to be here to tell us all about what's going on over there on Horse and Country TV. And on the list, I see she has a really amazing video. I'm not going to say anything more about that than that you folks are going to want to click on it and waste a lot of time at work. And other than that, all I've got is a really great list of movies.
All right. Well, let's do our daily one. Well, my daily winnie goes out to a friend or listener of ours, and a friend of ours, all our listeners are friends, in New Zealand. Her name is Simone Freewin, and she posted a great video. It's called, she said, this is a couple of our top Kiwi show jumpers. These girls have perfected the balance between being seriously competitive and having fun. And what it is just a little video of these two sisters goofing around at this show in New Zealand, where they're riding without saddles and bridles, riding bridleless and saddleless. And they're just goofing around, having a little fun, cantering around, galloping around, and doing whole show jumping courses that way. And I venture to say that these two, Jamie, if they ever lose their stirrups, are not going to have any trouble at all. They will be just fine.
So they're, what are they doing in the video?
They're just goofing around at this show, the two of them out in the ring, and they're just riding around, galloping, cantering, you know, doing turns and all that kind of stuff without bridles and without saddles. And then they do a whole show jumping course. I'd say it was about 2.5-3 feet without saddles and bridles. And
awesome.
What a terrific job they did with these horses. And they look to be, you know, they don't look to be like, you know, seasoned professionals. They look to be older teenagers. So it was just a good video. If you want to see it, go to our Facebook page and scroll down and you'll see it says Showtime Horses, bareback and bridleless. As Vicky and Amanda Wilson are the two girls from some place I can't pronounce in New Zealand.
All right, sounds good. I'll have to check it out.
And it looks like it's showing that your sound file is uploaded, but it's just not there. We cannot play it. Sorry.
Oh, come on. Okay, give me the Daily Whinny. Well, my Daily Whinny was going to go to, it is going to, no matter what, Mel Donald for posting on our Facebook page. I got a little wrapped up yesterday in talking about the man from Snowy River. And she posted on the page that there is a novel about the man from Snowy River based on the movie, not on the poem, because there's a poem about the man from Snowy River as well. And she said she owns a copy. And, Mel, I would like a copy of that as well. So if you could just go ahead and send that to me. I'd like to borrow it. And apparently, Tom Burlington, you know, he was the man from Snowy River. He will always be the man from Snowy River, even though he was in a secondarily awesome movie about a horse as well. He was kind of like Australia's horse actor guy, and he's super, super cute. Well, apparently he was on a television show last night, and Mel posted a link to that on our Facebook page, and I wanted the audio of Tom Burlington, who was like, "G'day, it's been 30 years since I've
been on Snowy River." I have it hooked up a different way, but we'll have to listen to the music at the beginning of it, okay?
Okay, just start playing the music, and I'll stop talking when it goes.
Here we go. See if we can hear it here. Can you hear it?
I can hear that, yes. So we'll talk over that. This is like the pre-credits for the television show. And Tom Burlington has had a continuous career in the world of show business, if you will. He was like Australia's Got Talent or something, and he was also became
right,
a Frank Sinatra impersonator.
There he is.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Tom Burlington. It's hard to believe that it's been over 30 years since I played the title role in the movie The Man from Snowy River. Since then, I've continued to ride in the high country. Tonight's program is about a fearless horsewoman who grew up just down the road from the Snowy, who beat the men at their own game.
Ah!
They breed them tough in those mountains. And Lee Woodgate's experiences have been epic. This is her story.
Okay,
either he colors his hair or he has really naturally good genes, because he doesn't have an ounce of gray up there.
Glenn, he's the man from freaking Snowy River. Of course he's got amazing genes. Okay? He's Jim Craig, okay? There's no question about his good genes. The man can ride his buckskin down a hill at a gallop, cracking a whip and jumping jumps. I mean, how can you argue with something like that? So, I have stalked him over the years, and he was a... He became somewhat of a Frank Sinatra impersonator, and I tried to get him to sing at my wedding. I was like, that'd be so awesome, Tom Burlington at my wedding. But it was mixed quickly by everybody. But thank you, Mel, for posting that. It was good to see Jim Craig back in action. And then talk about, he still rides in the high country. Of course he does. He probably still rides Denny in the high country, okay? So
You know, I wonder, was he the one that was also in Cowboys and Aliens? Was he in Cowboys and Aliens?
No, he was not in Cowboys and Aliens. If he was, I would have gone and seen it.
Okay.
Maybe the character's name was Jim Craig. I don't know. We'll have to look that up. I can IMDb that. So all of this talk yesterday about Jim Craig and the Man from Snowy River, and then talking to Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. We were talking about horse. It just got into the topic discussion of horse movies. And I put together a top 10 list of the greatest horse movies of all time that I think every horse person should see. And you know, I'm no expert, and I would love to hear from you guys and see what you think. But I've got a top 10 list now. I asked Glenn and Jennifer both to put in a top 10 list of horse movies as well. Did you guys do your homework?
Yeah, I have two that I've seen. Horse movies. I'm a horse
two?
Husband. I don't go see horse movies. We avoid horse movies at all costs. That's our job. That's what we do.
Two? You've all
two.
Jennifer. Seriously?
Now, yeah, Jennifer, if you're on mute, I think. Jennifer.
Oh, sorry.
You there?
I should be on mute most of the time, yeah. I have a list, yes.
Okay.
So and how many?
I think I have 11.
All right. Well, so you'd get extra points because I did 11 too, actually, because I have 10 and then an honorable mention. So
can I
borrow
Jennifer, two of yours and then I'll have four? If I take one from each of you and you each have 10, then I'll have four.
Well, let's just start with you, Glenn. What are the two horse movies that you've seen? Because clearly we cannot say that you are the expert in the top 10 greatest horse movies of all time.
Secretariat and Seabiscuit. Those are the two that I've seen.
Oh, well, those are on my list.
I think they're the two best horse movies that have ever been made, Secretary and Seabiscuit, because those are the ones I saw. That makes them the best.
Okay.
Oh, well, no, wait a minute. There's a third one. Hidalgo.
Ooh, that was a strong one. That's going to go on my honorable mention list as well.
Hidalgo was on there. That was actually a pretty good movie. It had humor and horses and windstorm or sandstorms like you're used to.
And that Vigo. All? It had Vigo. I think that was awesome. Whatever. All right, so Jennifer, did you rank yours in number 10 through 1?
I have them ranked, yes.
Okay, let's hear number 10.
Number 10 is Sylvester.
Oh, my God, that's my number 10 as well.
Really? Now, why is it your number 10? Because I'm sure the reasons are different.
Well, you know, watching Sylvester is
wasn't
at least
a cat?
No, Glenn, just keep it down. You don't get to talk because you did not do your homework and you haven't seen
are
any
you
horse
sure
movies.
He was a horse?
So it is
a
movie. Glenn, hush. It's a movie with Melissa Gilbert, and she is, and I've got the synopsis, Jen, a 16-year-old orphan struggling to raise her two younger brothers. She endeavors to train a wild horse she names Sylvester and turns him into an Olympic jumping champion. I mean, come on the movie poster, it says her greatest victory was at the end of the most dangerous moment of her life. What does that even mean?
At the end of the moment, okay.
Her greatest victory was at the end of the most dangerous moment of her life. What are you talking about? So is Rolex the most dangerous moment of her life? Anyway, she rode like the wild horse she trained in Rolex and won. So, I mean, come on. That's awesome.
I thought it was the stupidest movie ever, but the person in the horse who did all of the quote stunts is Kim Wallace, who I know and love, so that's why I love the movie, because she was in it.
that's good. I'll take it. Now what's your number 9?
Okay, number 9 is a little bit of a fudge, because it's any movie featuring Francis the Talking Mule.
Okay, then that's not a horse. That's a mule.
It's a mule.
Well,
on,
I don't know. It's
fans out there. Come on.
It's in the equid family.
Equid?
It has four legs with a hoof.
Okay. Well, whatever. I haven't seen any of the Francis movies. I love it. But see, now, have you done your homework after we talked about this a long time ago? Have you? My number nine was Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. It's about the movie, the Sonora Webster Carver, and she rides all the diving horses. Did you ever see that movie?
No. And boy, this, we're recording the Horse Husbands episode tonight, and all of this is bring. I got to write this down. They're going to force you to see crappy horse movies. Write that down.
It's not crappy. It's awesome. So you still need to put that on your Netflix queue because it is just, I mean, it's based on a true story, and they dive horses off a pier, and you know that nobody got hurt because it was a movie. Number eight, I went with The Black Stallion. Jennifer, what did you go with?
Oh, I went with one that I'm sure you never heard of because I don't think you were even born yet. It's called Run Wild and Run Free. It was made in 1969. But it was the very, very first horse movie I ever saw as a little kid. And it's a real tearjerker. And when I looked up what year it was made and I came across the trailer on YouTube, it still makes me cry.
Really?
Oh, gosh, yes. Is it a tearjerker? You must see it.
I found that there was a pattern in these horse movies that I have on my list, and I realized that I cried in every one of them.
Yeah.
In every one of them, which gets ridiculous because my next one is Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, and it's a freaking cartoon, and I bawled.
Do you have the Briar?
I did not get the Briar. I bought the computer video game. And
oh,
actually,
that's better.
Oh, yeah, I was Spirit, and once I learned how to jump out of the paddock and escape, I had to go around as Spirit and save all the horses in the herd and get them all back because they'd all been captured, you know, or were stuck somewhere. And I was Spirit, and I beat the game, and that was it. I was like, I just spent $30 on this. Like, that's all it was. Like, I just had to jump out of the pasture and run around and find horses. So anyway, not the greatest video game, but an awesome movie nonetheless. So that was my number seven. And then I'm going to have to watch yours. So you need to send me the link to that because I'm going to have to see that movie.
I will send you the link to Run Wild, Run Free. Now make sure you have wine.
Jennifer, I always have wine.
If you watch that whole movie sober, you will be so depressed for a week. Yeah. Wine.
Yeah, I don't watch too much TV at night without wine, so we're good. The next one would be number six. What did you go with?
Number six, Buck the Film, because we sort of met Buck and Cindy, at least by telephone, and it was also a fantastic flick.
Buck and Cindy. Okay, Buck the movie. Again, that was on my honorable mention list, but I didn't feel like, I've really made the... It didn't really make me cry, so it doesn't really qualify. I went with Secretariat. I'm sorry, Black Beauty is my number six. Black Beauty.
I'm surprised Black Beauty is that far down your list.
You mean that far, that high?
Oh, I thought Black Beauty would be, like, number one.
Well, you know, the problem is that you just can't make the book as perfect as you can make the movie as perfect as the book. So where I love the story, you know, you just can't make the movie as awesome as the book. And the book is my favorite book of all time, so therefore, you know, you can't make the best
if
movie.
If we were doing a list of horse books, Black Beauty would be number one, but because the flick wasn't as good as the book, it drops down a little bit. I got it.
Yes. Thank you for summing that up. I don't know why I was having a hard time saying that. Number five. Number five, Jennifer, please.
Number five, The Horse Boy. This one, again, because we got to meet the author of the story, Rupert Isaacson. It's a story about he and his son and his wife going to, I forget
where.
Hey,
I saw that one.
That
was on my list, too.
Yeah, and that was that's not one that's going to make you bawl, but boy, is it going to make you think. It is a fantastic story. Excellent.
Interesting.
Yeah. No fake
Winnies. I'll have to see that. No fake Winnies. Holy
not a
cow.
One. Not one.
Well, that can't be said for most of these movies, even though they're horse movies. I went with Secretariat as my number five. I just, you know, I love the movie, and it's we don't have movie channels. We're too cheap to pay for the movie channels, but for $1 a month, they gave us like the Stars package or whatever, which plays a bunch of absolutely worthless movies, and Secretariat. So I've DVR'd it now, and I watch it all the time. So I know all the lines, you know. You had that seen some, you had never seen. Oh, my gosh, that chokes me up every single time. So I went with number five, Secretariat. Number four, Jennifer, what did you have?
One that you probably haven't seen yet. You might see a trend in mine, lots of documentaries. The First Saturday in May.
Oh, my God, that's a fantastic movie.
See, it's a little tiny documentary. I think it was independently produced. Not a lot of people have heard of it. You have to buy it online, basically, from the people who made it. Fantastic documentary. Just gives me goosebumps talking about it.
Yeah, it's a documentary about the Kentucky Derby, and they have a story about Barbaro in there. It is just absolutely fantastic. I actually bought that DVD when I was at Churchill Downs. So I think you can probably find it on the Churchill Downs, just the first Saturday in May. And it kind of goes along about some Derby contenders and Barbaro. It was the year of Barbaro. Oh, my gosh. You know, could they have picked a more tear-jerking story to follow? And then they had some jockeys in there. And then they just the whole thing is fantastic. I went with more movies that entertained a little girl as opposed to documentaries. You're a little more mature than I am. I went with number four, which this movie, it would have been higher on the list if I can get through it now as an adult. This is by far the saddest movie I have ever seen in my entire life. I have the movie poster in my office right now for this movie. But I can hardly look at it because it makes me almost cry. And it is for all my Australia folks out there, mates out there. Whoop, whoop, Farlap. Farlap.
I saw that one coming.
Oh, my God. Could that be? When Tom Burlington, the man from Snowy River, is Farlap's groom. Are you kidding? His name is Tommy Woodcock, and he is the groom. Holy cow. Like, I didn't have enough of a connection with Jim Craig. Now you give me Tommy Woodcock, and he's in charge. Oh, holy cow, it's just amazing.
That, for me, that one kind of works like Black Beauty, in that I read the book as a teenager, so I'm going, no, that was such an amazing book. There's no way the movie could be that good, so I never went to see the movie.
You should see it. I mean, it's simply, if it was anybody else besides Tom Burlington, and the horse that they use is just absolutely amazing, and it's just, because it's based on a true story, it's just so, like, here, I've got the movie posters, and when he beat the odds, they changed the rules. When he broke the records, they weighed him down, but he had one thing on his side, the faith of a boy. Together, they lived a legend that inspired the nation and won the hearts of the world. Oh, come on! Are you kidding me? A horse? And a good-looking boy, and they win the hearts of the world? Ah!
You are such a sap.
I know. I love what they write on movie posters. It always entertains me. Like, the one-sentence summation of an entire movie, it's fantastic. Yeah. Number three, what did you go with?
Now, once we get to the top three, these are movies that I watch over and over and over again. And number three is The Horse with the Flying Tail, because you can park in front of the TV set when you feel so sick you want to hide under a rock and watch this, and it's fantastic.
And again, that's one I've never seen. The Horse
oh,
with
it's a
the Flying
great flick.
Tail.
It's full of fake whinnies and fake hoof beats. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
It's all about Nautical, who goes from Western flunky ranch horse to Olympic champion show jumper. It's kind of like Snowman, except with a yellow horse.
I love it. Okay, Horse with the Flying Tail. Besides, I've got Run Wild, Run Free, and The Horse with the Flying Tail. Those are on my list. My number three is a movie I've seen 1,000 times, and I still cry every single time I see it. I've read the book. I absolutely love it. I have loved Gary Stevens' with a passion ever since this movie. And of course, I love Tobey Maguire. The movie, obviously, Seabiscuit. What a phenomenal horse movie. And what's great about Seabiscuit, it is not just a chick flick. Men love this movie. My dad, when he was here visiting, he read the book from cover to cover, having never have read it. It's a book and a movie that details the depression and this horse that had the heart of a lion and was small and, you know, not the prettiest horse in the world. And he goes there. I mean, really, do I have to even give a synopsis of Seabiscuit? No. But
no.
Holy cow, number three. Just
I have to ask you, why is number three? I put Seabiscuit over Secretariat. I thought it was better.
I did too. No, Secretariat was number five to me, number five. So
yeah. All right, I'm interested to hear what you have above Seabiscuit.
Oh, it's so cheesy and obvious in my world. In the little world that I live in, it was 1983, 1984, and... You know, my mom did the thing where I'm going to entertain you and put you in front of the television, and I discovered this movie called The Man from Snowy River. Now, that's not my number one, number two. I fell in love with that movie, and in about, I think, 1989, maybe, like years and years later, they come out with a movie, The Return to Snowy River. I had so many unanswered questions from watching The Man that when Return to Snowy River came out, my mother, and I'm telling tales right now, she checked me out of school and let me go see the noon showing, the first showing of Return to Snowy River. And she watched it with me. I will never forget it. It was one of the greatest like moments in mother-daughter history to me, was checking me out of school to go see The Return to Snowy River and watch Jim Craig actually get the girl, and then another scene where he gallops downhill and you just cry. It's heartbreaking. And then the wild stallion comes out and he catches it and chases him around, and it was just so good, and it was like so free, and it was so great. Obviously, that leads me to well, Jennifer, what's your number two?
I think she's actually taking a call right now.
All right, well, I'll go straight to my number one because it's obvious. It has to be The Man from Snowy River. As a young girl, I actually could do the whole movie for you without seeing it and tell you all of the lines. It's a bit of an obsession. I'm not ashamed.
Hey, there's a theme here.
Yeah, I've got actually my brother found somewhere. Do you remember? Not 8-tracks and not records, but they're like laser discs. Do you remember Laserdisc?
Oh, yes. You're going back away to those.
I know. My brother found one and sent it to me for Christmas one year. I have the Laserdisc of The Man from Snowy River framed in my bathroom right now.
I was going to say, you can put it on the wall. That's about all good you're going to have with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's on the wall. That's how my husband lets this art, I use finger quotes for art, adorn the walls. I don't know, but he's very patient, tolerant. And
wait a minute. That's another thing to go on the Horse Husbands episode tonight. All art will be horses. Got it.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn.
Obviously.
Yes?
You're the worst offender. I think you buy more hunt prints than I do.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. They convert you, and then after a period of time, I'm buying horse prints.
Yeah. I love it. You know what? Actually, Chad bought me a hunt print for my birthday last year, and it's hanging in our room. Interesting. See, men like hunt prints. I guess it's like a manly horse thing.
Yeah, it's almost war. See, it's the next thing to war. Like, war movies, see, we can have a whole discussion on war. Hey, I need to get another horse husband on here someday, and we'll have a discussion on war movies. See, that we can do someday. All right, so Jennifer, what were your top two?
My top two were actually already covered. My number two was Secretariat, because you can popcorn and soda pop. You sit there and watch that while everybody else is watching the Daytona 500. You'll have a great day. And number one for me was Seabiscuit, wine, cheese, perfection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Two fantastic movies. I'm so glad you reminded us about the first Saturday in May, because for any horse person, that is just such an, I mean, have tissues ready, but my gosh. Can you tell, Okay, can I give you the worst horse movie of all time? When I cried harder than I did for Farlap, which was Ruffian. Holy cow, they made a movie about Ruffian? Brutal. Brutal.
Yeah,
I will never watch that.
That's not like one I even want to see.
No, I have the book. No, I will never watch it.
Yeah, Ruffian. Now, my honorable mentions went to War Horse because it's a horse movie. And Hidalgo, obviously, as well, because Glenn mentioned that one. And Dreamer. I did love the Dakota Fanning Kurt Russell movie about the rehabilitated racehorse that wins the Breeders' Cup. So I did, I'm sorry, Leslie Wiley. I did love that movie, and you can't take that away from me.
My honorable mention, I'm going to get slammed for this one, but I can't help it. Cowboys and Aliens, just because Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford look so cute in their cowboy outfits.
Oh, hottie. Hottie.
Hey, let's, while we're waiting for our guest to get on here, let's get some word in here from our listeners on Facebook. Secretariat, Barbara says Seabiscuit is the best. Laura chipes in that Justin Morgan had a horse. Please let it not be the one who loves this one. I'll get that one. Yudi says, love your list, but how about the movie Dreamer, which you just mentioned? Watch it all the time. Also, the movie Ruffian, talk about a tearjerker. The saddest horse movie ever made from Susan, Lonely Are the Brave with Kirk Douglas. Wonderful movie, but very difficult to watch. Never heard of that one. Lonely Are the Brave with Kirk Douglas. So that's got to be an older movie.
The reason I would watch that is because Kirk Douglas plays Jessica's father in The Man from Snorri River. So, I mean, Kirk Douglas is the bomb to me.
What's that saying where everybody's related to something? What was that called?
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you do. But yours is Snorri River. Everything revolves around Snorri River.
I love it. I love it. So, yeah.
Now, there's
Laura,
one more.
Glenn Forrest just
typed in, you should watch The Cult by Hallmark Movies. I never heard of that one either, The Cult.
I like the name. I love it already.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, all right. Well, we're going to do our commercial here, and then we'll come back to our first guest, and we'll learn a little bit about the biggest driving show of the year in the United States. It's sort of like the Rolex of driving. We always talk about Rolex being the big event for eventing. Well, this is the big event for driving. We have Mike Arnold from DrivingNews.us on with us to talk about that in just a minute. Hey, everybody. Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network. I am with Debbie over at Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I want to talk about the Ovation Airform all-purpose click-it girth, although it also comes
long name.
Yeah, it also comes in dressage and other types as well.
Okay.
It's time to get in schooling. It's time to get back on the trail. And the thing about this girth that I find wonderful is that it has a spring load in the buckle so that it's so easy to adjust and so easy to adjust from the saddle, which oftentimes when you're on a trail ride, you're going to need to go ahead and adjust your girth halfway through, and this is so easy. All you do is reach down, and the little spring form thing puts the little click-it thing in the hole, and you don't have to get off, and you don't have to worry about it. It's synthetic. It's hypoallergenic. All you have to do is hose it down. It's inexpensive. It's a schooling girth, but it comes in a lot of sizes that the other girths don't come in, all the way up to a 50 and a 60.
Wow.
Which you don't find. And I highly recommend it. My horse loves it. I had a hard time finding a comfortable girth for him for trail riding. I put this on it, and it's made a huge difference.
You've had a couple of reviews, too, on your website. Holly says this girth is awesome. Tightening or loosening it from horseback is so easy. The price is great, too. Love it. This is around $40, people.
Mm-hmm, $39.95.
Yep, and that's the Ovation Airform All-Purpose Click-It Girth. And that is from EquestrianCollections.com. Just hop onto Equestrian Collections and type in Ovation Airform Girth, and you'll find it. And now our first guest of the day is Mike Arnold of DrivingNews.us, here to talk to us about Live Oak International, coming up March 22nd through the 25th in Ocala, Florida. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Hey, thank you for coming on. Jamie wants me to ask you, what was your favorite horse movie of all time?
I really like Hidalgo.
Yeah, that was a good movie. See, that's sort of a guy movie, too, isn't it, Mike? That's a movie guys can watch and get into it because there's action and adventure and shooting and things.
Well, there's action and adventure, and it's that relationship with your stallion. I watch it and go ride the stallion, Clara. So, you know, you dream about taking the stallion off out across the countryside. And
okay.
It's a great movie for that.
No, I'm not going to ruin this for anybody because they should have seen it already. But when he lets the horse go at the end, could he have at least pulled the shoes first? I'm sorry. I had a problem with that. He lets him go. And the horse, he gallops off and you can see the sun reflecting off of his shoes as he gallops away. And I'm like, you know, he's just going to overgrow over those and it's going to cause him lamenesses and then he's going to have a problem. He's going to get eaten by a lion. It's horrible. They should have pulled him.
As my wife has a tendency to say, you realize it's a movie.
Well said, my friend.
And there is some small chance that the real one happened maybe slightly differently, despite all of our intents for it to be perfectly historically accurate.
Stop being so real, gosh.
I hate that when she says that. Anyway.
Well, Mike, are you at Live Oak right now? Are you on the ground?
I'm sitting here on the ground. What a beautiful day. Where are you?
We're actually, can you believe this? We are not moving till the week after Live Oak. We are going to live.
You know,
four
you have
miles.
For two, is it 2 years? Is it 5 years? I can't remember now. To be here at Live Oak, and here you are. I'm here. I'm saying it's a beautiful day. Could not be prettier. And there's no Glenn. Only on the phone.
I'm being called out here, Jamie. I'm being called out. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Mike. Have a great day. No.
Exactly.
No,
well,
next year,
only like an 18-hour drive. Come on down.
Next year, you can stay at our house. We literally are going to be living 4 miles from Live Oak. This is something I've wanted to see my entire life. And I tried to figure out every which way. I was talking to Jennifer about it over the weekend. I said, we can rent the moving truck early. But the problem we had is the moving truck would have had to sit full for an extra week, and it would have cost us an extra $1,000. And it was like, okay. Even Mike in Live Oak maybe not worth $1,000 right now. So sorry, Mike.
Yeah, don't you know it. But, you know, it was for another $1,000 or so, you could have just entered the show.
So tell
so there
us
you
first.
Go.
Paint the picture of Live Oak. We've talked a little bit about Chester Weber's place down there before and how big it is and everything, but just paint a picture for us of how absolutely beautiful the place is.
Well, it is just, I'm sitting here in front of the practice field, which, I don't know, it's probably 20 acres. I don't know. There are three big dressage rings in it, driven dressage rings, which are 40 meters by 100 meters. And, you know, a few horses out. We're a little bit early. We're here for a clinic with the team coach. And so it's just miles of green. I don't know how it's this green. And so well mowed. The mowing must just take an incredible amount of time. But every place is just mowed to perfection. There's trees, there's live oaks everywhere, and the moss hanging down. You know, it's just beautiful. Just a beautiful place.
What? And for those that don't know, the live oaks are those big, huge, huge oak trees, and many of them have four or five trunks that come out from the bottom. And it's typical Florida in that every one of those trees has the Spanish moss hanging down, and his place is just rolling hills of millions of them. I mean, he has 4,500 acres. It's 7 square miles. It takes you almost a half an hour to drive around his property on the road. It's that big. So
it's amazing, and he's got all the cows over in some in a different field. Like it's usually this is actually a cow field, and so I just have no idea how they maintain this much grass. So there's a lot of people out here running around on tractors and finishing up a little bit of mowing and that kind of thing.
Now this is explain to people how important Live Oak is to the driving world.
Well, Live Oak is a CAIB. You know, all the shows have their different initials, CSI and CCI and that kind of thing. CAI is for a, I don't know if I'll say this right, Concours the Attelage International, which is an international carriage driving show. And this is a CAIB. There are a couple of different levels. B is the lowest international show. Then there's an A, but they have to give prize money for an A, and there are other judging requirements. There's the CAIO, and then there's the championships. And so this is one of not many CAIBs in the United States this year, and it's just a tremendous thing. We have a totally international jury from Germany and Great Britain and, well, everywhere. And then it's used to be only had intermediate and advanced, advanced being the FEI level. And this year there's a few preliminaries, I think, also, which is just the level below intermediate also in here. And it's just such a big show, and everybody comes out, and it's a big party, and we all have a great time.
Now, they also have a lot of other things that go on during Live Oak. Years ago, it started that they, I think it was, wow, it's back in year 2000, they started having a car show with classic cars there over the weekend as well. Are they still doing that?
Well, you know, as a competitor, I'm not really sure. I haven't paid much attention to that part. They are doing a CSI two-star at the same time. After the, on Friday after dressage, they're having, at 4:30, they're having the first day of the CSI two-star, and then on Saturday after,
which is a jumping?
Which is a jumping
thing. Yep.
They have, and apparently there are 14 countries represented here in jumping, and not so many in driving, not so many different countries, but the... you know, it's a lot easier to transport a jumper, I guess. But I suppose they do a lot of jumping things here in the winter, and a lot of people come here for the winter for jumping. And so, anyway, this the CSI 2-Star, which is a really big deal, they've added 50% more stabling than they have for the driving event, which is just tremendous. They just added a big another hunk of stabling here. So
wow.
That adds 50% more horses.
Now, for those that are regular listeners to the show, you'll remember that Mike's son was Equestrian of the Year last year for the Junior Equestrian of the Year last year for the USEF. And is he showing there this year at Live Oak?
He is. He's showing, and this year he's driving Marcy Quist's horse, Halstead Shell, which is a Hackney horse, Go Hackneys. And he's actually doing really, really well. He showed his first show with Hal was Little Everglades, and he won that show, which he had won last year on driving Ira Morgan, Spring Hollow Dark Shadow, and this year he won it driving Halstead Shell in his first show with the horse, which was really pretty pretty amazing if I am his dad. And but it was against, this is the championship year, and the way driving works is that every other year is the championship year for the particular discipline, where the discipline is single horse, pair horse, four in hand, and then ponies. They all get lumped together. So in one year, it's in the even years, it's singles and four in hands. In the odd years, it's ponies and pairs. And so we're all out here trying to compete for a place on the team. And so it was really good that that was a selection trial as a Live Oak this year.
Now, and where is the single championships this year, the world championships?
They're in Portugal, is the current plan. Though there's been some talk about that being moved, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be in Portugal.
Cool. Very good. Well, and of course, it's a Shopapalooza out there at Live Oak, too, from what I hear. That's Wendy, what Wendy tells me anyway.
Yes, there's a lot of vendors that come, and you know, a lot of driving, and then just not so much driving vendors. Lots of just regular horse vendors, and then artists and other kinds of vendors here. It's a very big show. Last year, you know, they had I'm going to get this wrong. Was it Pat Pirelli here? And I don't know if they're doing that kind of stuff too. They have just lots of things, lots of activities to get this to make this really a world-class event. And there really is nothing like it, and certainly not in the United States, and really not so much in the rest of the world.
Well, if you're in Florida at all for the weekend, make a trip up. Do yourself a favor. Marathon Day will be Saturday usually, right?
It is.
So Marathon Day is always, we used to go, when we lived near Fairhill, down in Maryland there, we used to go down to Fairhill and watch the Marathon Day. Now, they had that combined also with the Fairhill event, or with the ridden event. So you could watch both in one day, and there is nothing more exciting than watching a four-in-hand, or any carriage, actually, going through, you know, going through the water and doing the obstacles there. It is just amazing to see. So if you get a chance, head over there this weekend. If you've never seen it before, this, and you're in the area, this is the one to see, wouldn't you say?
It is surely the one to see. This is the premier event in the United States by far. And though Little Everglades is pushing it hard, they had a very, very beautiful show. This place, and just because of the grounds and the number of things they're doing, and they're really upping the ante this year, really, with this jumping competition. This is pretty amazing.
Well, thank you,
everybody's
Mike. Mike is
here.
DrivingNews.us, if you want to keep track of what's going on. I assume you're going to be putting up the results and statistics and everything up there?
Yes, we hope to be able to live score, and so it'll all be there as it happens.
All right, sounds terrific. Well, I'm sorry, Mike, I couldn't be where, believe me, you can ask Jennifer, I'm torn up about this.
Well, as you well should be.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you.
Now,
have a good time.
Jamie, you realize there is a CDE. Actually, it just happened again. This happened to us last year in Arizona. I think that just happened.
I missed it?
Yeah, there was
again.
How did I miss that? I was probably, because I was probably competing in California in 5 inches of snow. Why wouldn't I be competing in California in 5 inches of snow? That's actually a true story, Mike. So look that one up for 3-Day Ranch. I should start driving.
No, I saw that. I saw that on Eventing Nation. That was those were the pictures from that, right?
Yep, I was
there.
That was a good time.
Excellent. That really looked like a good time.
Yeah, it sure was. Thanks. All right. Well, we'll
thanks,
talk
Mike.
To you
have a good one.
Soon. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank y'all.
Bye. Now, Glenn, here's the real, like, I was listening to you guys talk, and here's the real problem. You know, you're going to miss that event, and you're moving down there perfectly before Rolex, so you're not even going to be living in Kentucky for Rolex. What is wrong with you guys?
I got to drive back for that. It's just timing. It's just the way the timing worked out. But I do have to drive back for that. So I will be coming back for Rolex. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be all staying in you two. We're going to be staying at the Clarion Hotel. And we have a little contest going on right. Perfect transition. Thank you, Jamie. We have a little contest going on right now at the Clarion for the Clarion Hotel. And that is, if you're coming into Rolex, you can win a week free. You can stay for 5 nights free at the Clarion Hotel. That's an $800 offer. And, you know, Clarion is known for having the Tempur-Pedic memory foam beds and has the big pool and the nice breakfast and all that stuff and the bar and a restaurant and everything. It's about 4 miles from the horse park. It's one of the closest ones you're going to get. And all you have to do is post your favorite photo from a past Rolex on a Venting Radio Show's Facebook page before March 31st, or you can post any photo. If you haven't been to Rolex, just post any eventing photo on the Eventing Radio Show's Facebook page, and on April the 1st, we're going to pick a winner. If you've already booked at a different hotel and you can cancel it, just wait till April 1st. If you win, cancel it and take these free nights. It'll save you a ton of money. Imagine, Jamie, if you didn't have to spend $800 on the hotel, where you could have spent the $800, because Rolex is also a shopping palooza. So you could spend that money at Rolex on all kinds of cool stuff. So
and
do that.
I keep telling Chad that, you know, like, listen, we get to save a whole lot of money on this, and then we can take that money and put a down payment on a dressage saddle. Isn't that brilliant?
And he's going, or we could put it in the bank, and we could pay the bill. Right?
Yeah. No. I do need to tell a tale on him real quick, because he is also just like a woman, saving, and I'm using my little air quotes again, saving money right as we speak. And did you finish telling everybody where to the Eventing Radio Show? Post the
Eventing
picture.
Eventing Radio Show Facebook page. Post your pictures.
Push pictures. Now, this, you know, as a woman and as a married woman, when husbands do things, we're smart enough. And Jennifer, I'm sure you have this in your brain as well, that when something happens, we just take it and it's almost like we write it on an imaginary piece of paper and we put it in our brain and save it. And I'm saving little things, you know, like if I want to go compete, you know, for this and this and this, I pull things out. I'm like, hey, remember when you did this? You know, women are really good at that, aren't we? Do you do that, Jennifer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sad part is, half the time, Glenn doesn't remember.
Well, that's because he's a man and he's faking it. He's going, I don't remember that. What are you talking about? So just, we write things down and we stock them away in our brain and we pull them out when we need them. And this is one of those moments where I'm like, ha, yeah. I'm going to remember that one. And so right now, I would like you to know that my husband is on a, he's saving money right now. He is saving money, Glenn. He's doing it the only way he can. He is currently skiing in Lake Tahoe. He left yesterday, and his friend invited him to go skiing in Lake Tahoe. And it's like a group of 8 guys. I think 6 of them are single. That's fun for me. 8 guys in Lake Tahoe for the week. And here's how he's saving money. It's a free place to stay, babe. I got a free place to stay. I don't have to pay for the hotel. And I got a buddy pass for my friend to fly there. So it's like I'm saving money on a ski trip. How much are lift tickets? Oh, you need a new coat. You need a new winter coat. Okay, chalk that up. What is the rental for skis? How much does it cost to rent the boots and the poles and everything? The lift tickets are at least $100 a piece, but you're saving money.
Well, we're not going to mention the case of beer a night, at least.
Oh, no. There's no case of beer. They'll be going out. And I'm sure that going out to bars in a ski town is free. I'm sure you're not.
Of course, now
be
if we start, I got to send Chad here a little bit, being the horse husband here. If we start lining that up, if we took it to 2 little columns and we put ski trip horses, you're not going to win that argument. You know that, doesn't
Glenn?
You?
I make a living from my horses. Okay, granted, it's not a very good living.
I was just going to say he makes a better living flying fighter jets.
You know, it's tax deductible what I do. So, you know, I'm saving you money by writing it off on your taxes. My loss is your gain, tax-wise. We're married, okay? It all works together. You save money when I lose money, okay? In the end.
So, I'm just saying, you can have many arguments with his trip. I think you can have many arguments with his trip. I don't think finances is going to be one you're going to win.
Listen. All I'm saying is that don't lie to me. I'm saving money on a ski trip. I swear. It's like it's free. Uh-huh.
It's
yeah.
Sort of like you're saving money on the dressage show. It's the same thing.
Exactly. Well, it is. And don't think that is not like, hold on, I'm writing it on a little piece of paper and wrapping it up into a little teeny square and putting it in my brain. It's saving money on a ski trip. See, there you go.
No bitterness there, everybody. Well, today I thought, you know, we missed St. Patty's Day over the weekend, and I really don't have any Irish music that we won't get sued for playing. So the closest thing I have is the Raja Band, and one we haven't heard from them in a while is called Vivid, and this is our listener and horse girl Shay on the fiddle, and this is the Raja Band. And we'll be back with Victoria Spicer, Horse and Country TV.
Thank you.
Are we done yet? You're such a jerk. Typing.
I love that
typing
song. I catch you every single time.
Okay. You're like, okay, you come out of there. You start talking. I'm like, and you're... And then the fiddle starts up. Man, that girl can slay on the fiddle. But my God, I'm not talking out of her songs anymore. It's all you, because you're the one who can see the countdown clock. I can't see it, jerk face. Unbelievable. That's so funny. That's so funny.
Couple news stories before we get to our next guest. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and the confused one is Jamie Jennings, and the smart one is Coach Jen over there producing. All right. Well, a good friend of our shows, Darlie from Equa Trekking, is being honored in Myrtle Beach on March the 21st for the 2012 Women's Leadership Conference and Celebration of Inspiring Women. And she's one of the honorees, and she's being recognized for her career and starting the Equa Trekking Show, which, of course, had won an Emmy and all that stuff. So she's going to be on the stage today. Good for her. She deserves it. She's a sweetie.
I love her. And, you know, she's the reason that we're going to Spain, talking about the trip and talking to her about it. And we did book our trip to Spain through Equa Trekking, so pretty exciting that we're going to do that. And I'm really excited for her. She's so fantastic.
Yep, that's terrific. Congratulations to Darlie. Now, next, archaeologists discover the earliest equestrian bit. And I don't even know where this is. I tried to figure this out. And to be honest, this was one of those stories that was in an Archaeologist Digest kind of website, and I only understood half of what I read. But basically what they're saying is they found this equid, which they think was a donkey.
Donkey.
And yeah, donkey. And they tell that by evidence by the foot bone measurements and traits on the grinding surfaces of its teeth. There you go. That's way too scientific for me. But it was in the Middle Bronze Age, they think, from 1750 to 1650 B.C., and they retrieved the earliest equestrian bit. And I thought, well, that's really cool. That's the first one they ever found. They were never quite sure back in those days if they actually used a bit or if they used rope or some kind of other device. They weren't sure how they really controlled the movement of the horses. And this bit kind of answers that question. Now, it was a nasty bit because on the edges it had round plates on either end of the ancient bit that exhibit triangular spikes that pressured the lips of the equid if the reins were pulled from one direction. So basically it had these spikes on it that just poked him in the mouth. What? Turn two.
You know, I must say that yesterday, Glenn, I had the vet come out because it was teeth floating day. And okay. With teeth floating, we had, you know, the new horse that we got, Jack Daniels, he had just awful teeth. She said he hadn't been floated in years and years. The spikes in his mouth were like, the points were very, very sharp. And then the pony, you know, my boarders have a pony that they got a year ago, and they never had the teeth done because he never acted like he needs it. Oh, my gosh, his teeth were so bad. And he apparently had a couple points and some sores, and I just felt so guilty. And I'm like, oh, how could we have let him stand out there with a sore mouth? And how this poor horse, Jack, I put a bit in his mouth a couple of times knowing that he needed his teeth floated. And I said, I don't feel guilty anymore. They had spikes on their bit.
Spikes on their bit. We think that, you know, and they are, we think that twisted bits are, I think they're nasty. But, you know, that's just my personal opinion. I don't like twisted bits a whole lot. But now make it a twisted bit with spikes on it. There you go. There you go.
Just put barbed wire in their mouth. I mean, seriously.
Do you think there was a division of PETA back in 1750 B.C.? Do you think that PETA was around? It's like a little lady there with a stone tablet going, don't abuse the horses.
Yeah, no, her name was Anna Sewell. She was the first person, and she wrote the book Black Beauty. Like, she's the first, she's like the honorary founder of PETA. I love it. I love it. But, you know, it raises a good question because I did take a photo of Chad's horse being floated. And I should probably post it on Facebook because I apparently scared the hell out of him showing him this picture. Because he had never seen a horse getting their teeth floated. And his question was, I'm sorry, how do wild horses not just die? I mean, like, how do wild horses survive if you have to trim their feet every 6 weeks and float the sharp points off of their teeth, and then they need all these different things? I said, honey, wild horses don't live past, like, the age of 7, right? So do you ever wonder that, Glenn? Is that just my husband?
Yeah, you know, you do wonder because they had all of these things that have any animal for that matter. But, yeah, especially with horses. And I always have made that argument when I'm trying to save money with Jennifer. I'm like, the wild horses don't have that. The wild horses don't have a farrier bill every 6 weeks. The wild horses don't have to have the vet. The wild horses don't need 85 shots. The wild horses don't need the goopy put on their back to keep the flies off. How do they make it?
Okay, so you do use the wild horse argument as
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can ask Jennifer that. I've used that one before. That's a horse husband thing. We learned that one early on. That you learned that in Horse Husband 101.
Uh-huh, Horse Husband 101. Wild horses can't be broken. it's a ridiculous argument. And what I say to Chad, and you know, people, I'm sure this opens up a big can of worms, but people that are all into natural horsemanship, and I don't shoe my horse, and I don't do this with my horse, and I don't do this to my horse. There is nothing natural about what we do with our horses. I said to him, I said, horses, honey, they don't go out in the pasture and jump things for fun. And they don't canter in 20-meter circles trying to work on extension and collection. Like, they don't do that naturally. They don't do that. So we have to do more to help them, okay? So we have to do more. You know, they're not going to run cross-country in the rain.
Although in the pastures, I've seen them do airs above the ground. Above the ground. I've seen that.
Yeah. So. I've ridden those, too, on my horse, Chet. And, you know, whether or not you like it, they're going to do it. So, yeah, the natural, the wild horse argument is it doesn't hold any water with me. Let me go ahead and put it that way. So
Did you see the video of the guy? let's see here. Did you see the video of the Spanish guy that was in the parade? Oh, it's Mexican. It was in Mexico or Spain. But he was riding in the Spanish outfit and had the horse all decked out and everything. He was in this parade. He was a singer and he was holding the microphone and his horse was just not moving forward in the parade. So he takes it, and I don't know what he whipped it with, but maybe his reins or something. He whips it on the neck. Well, this horse gets mad, ran forward, and then he whips it on the other side of his neck. And I thought, you know, you deserve to get your butt dumped. And sure enough, that horse reared straight up and over the top. That horse reared up and came over the back and threw the guy to the ground. The horse landed on top of the guy, and the horse got up. I was thinking, oh, my God. And then the horse got up immediately,
where is this
stood
now?
There. This
where
was
is
in, a,
this?
In Mexico or Spain. I'm not sure which. I'll see if I can find the video. Somebody gave it to me and posted it. But it was – and then the guy – I thought, you deserved every bit of that. And the horse stood up and just stood there like, screw you, buddy. I mean, he just stood there. He was just standing there. He didn't take off, nothing. He just dumped the guy and stood there like, okay, I win. It was kind of funny watching the horse.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Sometimes horses are smarter than us. Obviously, we're not going to get Victoria today. So one of the stories that she was going to cover, I really wanted to cover, and I was waiting for her to come on and talk about it. And if I can mention...
I wonder if she has the time change messed up, you know, because we just changed our clocks. From England. I wonder about that. Jennifer, do you have a number where we can call them over there or not?
She Skypes in, so it's only a one-way. She said she's dialing now.
Oh, okay.
It takes a long
time
for that signal to get across the ocean.
All right, well, while she's dialing, I do have one more story, and that is that we talked last year, we had a guest on about the Houston Rodeo, about it being one of the largest rodeos, and it draws a huge amount of people. Well, this year they set a record attendance for a three-week-long event. Now, to give you an idea, Janie, you've been to Rolex a bunch of times. Rolex will get 50,000 people on cross-country day, and that's about as high as it gets. And they'll get between 100,000 and 125,000 people for the 4 days.
Correct.
Well, this rodeo for 3 weeks this year set a record with 1,279,000 people.
Holy cow.
Yeah. They bring in $36 million this year in ticket sales. $36 million.
Okay, that is fantastic for rodeo. But, you know, it's like, let's have the sighting of Jesus at the Mecca, like in Bethlehem. Like seriously, you've got a three-week-long rodeo in Houston. That is like where everybody's going to go that wants to go see a rodeo. I mean,
that's
is
true.
There anything more perfect than a rodeo in Houston, Texas? Of course it's huge. It's like, going to a horse show in Kentucky.
All right, it looks like Victoria has made it from England. Do we want to take her now?
I guess so. I was going to cover her news story, but I'll go ahead and let her do it. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Apparently, your clocks change a week before ours do, so I was waiting
patiently.
I thought
that was the problem.
I thought I was due on in an hour.
Are you serious? Y'all?
Yeah.
So that's almost as bizarre as Arizona not doing the time change at all. So we don't even do it. So now I'm up an hour earlier. So that's fun. Victoria, tell us what is going on over at Horse and Country TV.
Well, it was a huge week last week over here in Britain because we had the Cheltenham Festival. And I keep telling you guys about our big jump racing, and it's just a national obsession over here. So a huge, big week of racing culminating in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, which is the biggest jumps race in the country. And there was all this talk over who was going to win because there's been a horse who's just phenomenally successful called Cotto Star, and he was racing and he was aiming to win the race for a third time, and he was up against last year's winner Long Run, and in came Tony McCoy, who is our champion jockey. He's been champion jockey for 16 years in a row, which is just a bit of an achievement, and he was on an outsider, but people started to take notice of his horse Synchronized, and sure enough he romped home in the lead.
No kidding. So was this considered an upset?
It was quite an upset. And also Cotto Star, who is the one that's won the race twice before, he was pulled up early on in the race. They jumped considerable fences in these at speed, and it's the championship of jump racing. It's a very big deal. And he jumped a water fence, and his jockey just felt something twinge, and he wasn't quite right. And so he pulled him up, and he was absolutely sound and fine. But if you can imagine, you know, 10 fences in, halfway around the race, one of the second favourites pulling up, and everybody in the whole crowd, and there must have been more than 60,000 people there on the day, everyone sighed and then gave him a spontaneous round of applause, which was really nice.
Oh my gosh, you gave me goosebumps telling me about that. So he just felt a little bit different and pulled him up. And you know what? He might have saved him. He might have absolutely saved him from whatever was going to come next. So who's the jockey that did that?
It was Ruby Walsh, who is such a successful jockey over here. And they've been a brilliant partnership. And they've dominated racing for the past 5 years. And this horse has just won so many top-class races. And he's 12 now, which isn't overly old, but there's now this debate of should he continue and should he stay in training and come out next year, or should he have a nice retirement and go on and have a fun life hunting or hacking or doing whatever he wants to do. So lots of debate at the moment as to whether we'll see him on the racetrack again.
Oh my gosh, well, please keep us up to date on that. That's a fantastic story, and kudos to, you know, when these guys are in these big time races and it so much is on the line, for him to pull up a horse and decide that he's not ready to keep going, that shows you what kind of relationship him and the horse have. So good for him.
Definitely. It was really touching to see, and just to hear 60,000 people cheer a horse who, you know, people probably had money on him and they'd all been hoping he could win. And it was that 10-second moment of disappointment followed by just this round of applause. And it was such a special moment to be there.
Oh, I have goosebumps. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. You know, before we... I wanted to cover this story, and I kind of left it to you because it is kind of more your area, but talk to us about Hedley, Britannia.
Yes, we had a report a few months back from Fredericks, Lucinda Fredericks, who rides Hedley, Britannia, saying that the mare was in great fettle and she was going to be coming out and doing a few more events and hopefully making the Olympics. And it's come round to the season, and Lucinda's changed her mind. She thinks it's not worth it. A bit like Cottle Star, she owes the eventing world nothing, and she's achieved so much, and she's 19 now. And, you know, she could have gone on, and she might have made the Olympics, but Lucinda just wanted to safeguard her and give her a safe and happy retirement. And so Hedley Britannia, having won Kentucky, Badminton and Burley, is now going to be used as a first event horse for Lucinda and Clayton Frederick's little girl, Ellie. Can you imagine having a nicer first horse than that?
No.
That's the way to start.
That's amazing. That is just such a great, great story. Now, I tell you that I will never forget, for as long as I live, watching her win Rolex. She comes across, you know, they go out to do their victory gallop, and, you know, it was actually, I think, the moment she finished show jumping, we knew she won, and she galloped around the arena, and everybody just erupts in applause. And, you know, she's not an American rider, so the fact that America embraced this woman and this mare, I think it was like 4 years ago, I think she won. If it's been that long, and she gallops around the arena, and where most riders would be waving in the air, arms up, you know, congratulating themselves, do you know what she did? She galloped around that ring and pointed at the mare.
Aww,
the entire way around. Oh, she was crying, and I'm going to get emotional talking about it, but, you know, to not congratulate herself the whole time, she's just going, it was her, it was her, it was her, it was her. And to see that, and to see that relationship that you have with the mare, I'm so happy that after the immensely successful career of Lucinda and Hedley Britannia, that she's decided to do this. I think it's fantastic. I mean, the mare's 19 years old. Go be a kid's pony. Have fun. And what a great story.
Absolutely. It's really nice to see her. And hopefully we will get to see her again, competing at a much lower level, but with Ellie Fredericks in the saddle, who is 9 years old, I should add. She's quite young to be taking on the mantle, but I guess Hedley Britannia is pretty small, and so maybe she is a good first horse.
Think about it, guys. Think about it. You're 9 years old, and you're riding that particular horse, and let's say you don't win anything for 2 years. How devastated are you going to be?
No, you know what's devastating is to be in the division with Frederick's daughter and Hedley Britannia. Like, hi, I'm 12 and I'm doing my first horse trial and I'm competing against basically the winner of Burley, the Triple Crown of eventing. That's crazy.
She's a very lucky little girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My coach's daughter is 7 and events, and she rides a 13-hand POA. Okay, so not quite the same. So tell us what you have a blog of the week.
We do indeed. Now, we were off filming at the Para Winter Championships. We thought it was a good opportunity to go and see some of the Paralympic riders in action. And we happened to meet this man who is called Clive, who is lovely, and he's trained lots of Paralympic riders, including Sophie Christiansen. And we got to meet Sophie's former ride, Lambrusco, and he is another old-timer. I think he's in his 20s, and he's just the most noble, amazing horse. He's so stoical, and he just seems to be in a different plane to the rest of us. He was just sort of staring off into the middle distance. And we were all very smitten by Lambrusco. And then Clive said to Jenny, do you want to have a shot? And Jenny was a bit like, oh, okay. And so Clive put her up on this horse who's been to the Paralympics the European Para Equestrian Championships and the World Finals. And Jenny got to have a little sit on, and Clive just said, oh, you know, pop him across the school, do a couple of flying changes, and Clive did, bless him. And Jenny was just overcome to be able to ride such an incredible horse. It's not the sort of opportunity you get given on a daily basis.
Great story. I was waiting for the, and then she got bucked off.
I don't think Lambrusco knows the word buck. He is just, he's just so well behaved, and I think he can tell, because he's had so many different riders, and I think he can tell when he has to look after somebody, and can just counter them if they have balance issues. He's just amazing. So when Jenny gets on and she can just press the button and he does a flying change, she said it was incredible to ride him.
Well, I looked at his picture. If you go to Horse and Country TV, you can see it on there. And what a classy guy. I mean, he just has that look about him where you just love him. And just listening to you tell the story and look at the picture, I am in love with him too. What a cool guy. What a great horse. Great horse.
You are.
And what an honor to be able to ride him. So did you go, I want to ride him?
I did, but that's the joys of staying behind the camera, that I don't get to do all these amazing things. But actually, there was quite a few Paralympic team likelies milling around, so I'm not really sure I want to ride in front of the professionals. So I was quite happy to let Jenny get on with it.
No pressure, yeah, no pressure. What else do you have going on before we let you go?
Well, this week, you can see the episode when Jenny rides Lambrusco in the next episode of Rudo's Roundup, which will be on next Monday at 8:30 in the UK, and it will be available to watch online soon after. Over in America, you can watch some of our programs on HRTV, including Kelly Marks, who's Monty Roberts' protégé. We've got her series Top Marks, and plus his training with those aforementioned Fredericks, Lucinda and Clayton. So do check that out. And one final thing, we do hope that everybody will visit our Facebook page this week, because we posted the best video, which was called Donkey Mayhem. And it was an animal sanctuary here in Britain. And they turned out some donkeys onto their new spring field. And it's all these donkeys running around, braying at each other, trying to kick each other, which isn't so nice, and just bucking and galloping and having a great time. And it's set to brilliant music, and I've watched that about 4 times already. So do check it out.
Definitely going to have to see that. Are you kidding me? I mean, the most fun thing to do is watch when you turn a horse out, watch him run around that crazy, and then to have a bunch of donkeys. Woo! That'd be awesome. Very cute.
I'm watching it right now. That's so funny. That's so cute. I got to tell you guys, we did the barn over the weekend, and there's a mini donkey at our barn. And I talk mini, it's the size of our greyhound dog. It's mini, mini donkey. And we did the whole barn. There's 25 horses there, and we're turning the horses out. The hardest one to turn out was this little mini donkey. First of all, his halter's the size of, you know, it's about the size of a little tiny, you know, it's about the size of a half dollar. And you're turning him out. Well, you have to lead him. Well, his little feet don't go very fast. And the whole time he's chewing on the lead rope and trying to bite your butt. He almost got me the one time. He's trying to bite your butt the whole time. And he was the hardest one to lead out. It took longer than any of the other horses. No, I understand about little tiny duckies. He's so cute, though, you forgive him.
Nutty
oh,
donkey.
There's about a million. I love this video. This is great.
It is very cute. I think you should definitely share it with your listeners. It's a brilliant one to watch.
Yes,
well,
it is.
We'll put that on our Facebook page for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry about the whole time change thing. Hopefully we'll get caught up with you next week, time-wise, I guess.
I hope so. I hope we don't end up 2 hours apart instead. But, yes, that would be great. I will try my best to be on time next week.
Well, if you guys over there would just, you know, stick to the plan, and why you got to go out and get crazy and make your own time?
This happens twice a year. I'm sure when the clocks went clocks went back in the autumn, I missed my show then as well. So,
Jamie, you might want to ixnay on that one. They were here first. They were around first. Just saying.
Cool. Everything revolves around me, Glenn, in my country. Okay, no. Yeah, you're right. We're stupid. Okay.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thanks, see you next week.
Bye.
No,
I clearly, I don't know. I don't know. She's way too classy and smart to be on the show.
I just posted a picture. It is the first day of spring, so we want to say happy spring to everybody, but there's nothing like spring in Kentucky. You know, we're moving away from here, but let me tell you, it is the most beautiful place. And the Kentucky Horse Park posted a picture. If you refresh your Facebook page on the Horses in the Morning, Jamie, you'll see it. And you'll recognize what it is because it is the one thing that everybody, you know what it is. It's the one thing everybody looks forward to when they're coming to the horse park. Right? Every year when you drive down that driveway, that's what you want to see.
You get chills. All you have to do is just look up as you're coming into the entrance and you see Man O' War's grave. And there's a big statue of him standing tall and proud. It's a life-size, maybe bigger than life-size, bronze statue of Man O' War who, you know, we could argue all day who's the better horse. Man O' War is our secretariat. Man O' War has always been my pick. So great picture, Glenn. Love that.
Yeah, that was posted by the horse park. So it is a neat time of year here in Kentucky, for sure. We were driving out the other morning to the barn, and it was just, and you'll remember this too. It was one of those mornings where we had the low fog that just hangs over the lower parts of the pastures. And so you come over a hill, and there's all the low fog in the lower parts of the pastures, and there's the mamas and babies out playing in the beautiful green fields. That's something that I will miss about Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's such a beautiful place. And, you know, 6 months out of the year, you just don't like the cold. You guys are wimps. I don't blame you. I live in the desert. It's cool. But, yeah, Chad's like, you know, maybe someday we'll move back. We'll you know, because he's going to go to Lexington for the first time ever. He's never been to Kentucky, and he's coming for Rolex. And he did say something like, you know, maybe someday I'll get it. You know, when I get an airline job, we can live and work in Kentucky. And I was like, too cold. Beautiful. Too cold. Can't do it.
Too cold. You might want to consider maybe Florida, where you still have the warmth, but you also don't have total desert. You actually have some green, too.
See, but Glenn, you're ahead of yourself because he said, I can't move to Florida until we're at least 70. So you jumped the gun.
I'm 50. That's almost 70, right? I'm close.
You're just around the corner. Just around the corner, right. Man.
I'm almost
give
there.
Give you a walk.
Well, that's it, everybody. We have to get out of here before Jamie totally depresses me here. We'll be back again tomorrow morning live here on Horses in the Morning at 9 a.m. Don't forget, you can catch all the recorded shows on horsesinthemorning.com. You can listen to every past episode. We've done all 361 of them.
Please, did you remember to get to change your Depends, 50-year-old man? You need any help?
Bye, Jamie.
Stay neuter and yelled and get a walker. Need some glasses?
I have those.
Just don't run. I'm worried about your heart. You love me. You know it.